finally here. Friends, listen to me. This is serious business. What the world needs today is Jesus. The Bible says in John 3:16 that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life.
And hello, everyone, and welcome to a program, The Truth Will Set You Free, Bible Prophecy Edition. I'm Vic Batista, along with my co-host Nathan Jones with Lamb Lion Ministry. We thank you for being part of today's program. We have a great program lined up for you today, titled Satanic Idols, as we look at Isaiah chapter 57. So for those of you that are following us live, we'd love for you to get your Bibles ready to follow along with us in today's study. Again, before we continue, I'm going to ask my co-host Nathan Jones if he will open us up with a word of prayer.
We thank you, Lord Jesus, for this opportunity to dive back in Isaiah, Lord, to know your heart, know your plans for the future, and Lord, what you would have us do today. So we thank you for all who are tuned in. We pray for your blessing upon them and this program in your precious and wonderful name. Amen.
Amen. Again, you're tuned into our Truth Will Set You Free Bible Prophecy Edition. Vic Batista, Nathan Jones with Lamb Lion Ministry. Again, our topic is that of satanic idols as we look at Isaiah chapter 57. And before we continue, I'm going to welcome my co-host of the program, Nathan Jones. Nate, another wonderful week, would you say?
Amen, brother. Yes, yes. I don't know if you all here in the Dallas, Texas area are enjoying this nice, unseasonably cool weather in May, but we sure are.
And you know, Nathan, the same way here, we're entering that season in Florida where we're going to be getting a little rain soon. And sometimes, you know, people get bothered by the rain, but things are so dry here that we definitely need it.
Yeah, I always remember Florida. My grandparents used to live in Newport Richey, and it seemed to rain there all the time. So you're saying it's dry? You got a drought?
Yes, it's actually been very dry, Nate. It's been like that for a few months. And by now, we normally get quite a bit of rain, but not much at all. So we're looking forward to getting some rain around here.
Amen to that. Yeah, it has been dry. I got friends up in the northern part of the country, and they're drowning. So it looks like the rest of the country is getting our rain.
Maybe that's what's going on. But I'm pretty sure in the next few weeks, as June rolls around, that's when we're definitely going to pick up the rain. But it's nice to, for now, enjoy a little bit of the weather. So we're grateful for that. But Nate, speaking of weather and events, there's actually, for individuals that are new to the program, a great event coming up in June, a wonderful conference. Will you be able to share with us a little more about that?
Yeah, actually, it's funny you mentioned that, because before we began this, I've been working on an e-blast to let people know about registration is open for our Lamb and Lion Ministries annual Bible conference. We're going to hold it on June 12th and 13th, so you know, about 37 days away from the time we're recording this. And so it's not too far off. So yeah, sign up, go to our website at christinprophecy.org. I'm going to be teaching on Vic and I's book, The Mighty Angels of Revelation. And we're going to have a fireside sale to sell all the first edition, because we're working on a second edition now. We got Pete Garcia of Rev 310. He's going to be speaking on the tyranny of the present. We got our director, Tim Moore, who's going to ask, where is the promise of his coming? And then from the Institute of Creation Research, Jake Herbert, Dr. Jake Herbert, he's going to talk about ages before the flood that went up to 900 years old. So that should be fascinating. We're going to have Brian Sanders of All for Zion Ministry, who's going to be showing Friday night his wonderful video, Why Stand with Israel. We interviewed him on that. And if you want to see our Christ in Prophecy episode, go to christinprophecy.org and look up Brian Sanders and you'll see that. Wonderful movie. I think it's just going to be a tremendous event. And so it's here in the local area, Brookhaven Church. Of course, that's the church where I go to, Dr. Reagan and many others go to. So I'm sure you'll have a Dr. Reagan sighting while you're there. And so if you can't join us, then just visit our Christ in Prophecy YouTube channel. We'll certainly live stream that as well.
Nathan, that sounds like a lot of fun. So for anyone tuned in that's able to make it, that is fantastic. And also just a lot of wonderful speakers, Nate. It's always good to see how God inspires individuals with their own area of expertise. And it's great to be able to see how to glean from those resources. So I think this will be a great resource.
Yeah, it's going to be. We hold this conference every year. And matter of fact, when I first started at the ministry 19 years ago, that was the first conference that we held outside. They used to hold it at the ministry, man, and in our offices only hold about studio about 30, 40 people. So it wasn't big, but now we have hundreds come. And so it's just a great time of fellowship. A lot of times we see the same people year after year, and they They just love the Lord and they love following the ministry. If you're one of them, then just go to our website, christinprophecy.org. It's right on the homepage there, and sign up to register. Lunch is included on Saturday, so you're just going to be blessed.
Nathan, and sometimes it's nice to change the venue and the location here and there because it gives you like an opportunity to see and meet other individuals, and I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, we'd like to move it around the Dallas-Fort Worth area. I mean, we get people say, you know, why don't you hold it in our state or what? And hey, we'd love to hold a conference in your state. If you've got the pastor's willing and opens up his churches, invites us, we'll be there and we will hold a regional conference just like we did in Kentucky last month at Nineveh Christian Church. So, yeah, have your pastor invite us. We'd love to come.
Awesome, awesome. Well, that's an invitation for all those of you that are listening. So, Nate, exciting. Thank you for sharing. I mean, you and I have been having just such a rich time going through the book of Isaiah. And we find ourselves in chapter 57 in Isaiah. Chapter 56 was wonderful. If anyone missed that one, we were focusing on the importance of prayer, Nathan, and how prayer really, really changes things. I just saw a clip of a video a few minutes ago where a group of individuals were in the White House laying hands on our president and praying for him. And we do not take prayer for granted, right, Nate? When Christians pray, God sends his mighty angels and God moves in an amazing way. So that chapter 56 was a fun chapter.
Yeah, and it's just amazing to see that, you know, you really get a connection of God's heart here. I mean, Isaiah was written 2,700 years ago. He was one of the what's called the major prophets because he wrote so much, 66 chapters, and the Jewish people consider him the greatest of the prophets. And you really get a heartfelt view of what the Lord is going through, dealing with the people who he loves so much, yet continue to reject him. And that leads into chapter 57, which we're covering today, is the fact that at that time period, the Israelites were obsessed with idols. I mean, little wooden or metal statues that they would bow down to like gods and worship instead of the one true God that showed himself again and again through miracles over hundreds of years in their history. And so the Lord's he's like, I'm going to cure you of this idolatry. And we know when the Jewish people went into exile and the remnant came back, there was no more idolatry anymore. So this is the kind of the context of where we are with Isaiah chapter 57.
Oh, that is fantastic. And Nate, that's a great background. And as we look at chapter 57, I want to encourage you all to follow along with us as we dive into, we're reading from the New King James Bible. Nate, will you be able to open us up reading verses 1 through 7, and I'll read verses 8 through 13 in case someone doesn't have a Bible?
Absolutely. All right, Isaiah 57, verse 1. The righteous perishes, and no man takes it to heart. Merciful men are taken away, while no one considers that the righteous is taken away from evil. He shall enter into peace. They shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. But come here, you sons of the sorceress, you offspring of the adulterer and the harlot. Whom do you ridicule? Against whom do you make a wide mouth and stick out the tongue? Are you not children of transgression, offspring of falsehood, inflaming yourself with gods under every green tree, slaying the children in the valleys, under the clefts of the rock? Among the smooth stones of the stream is your portion, they are your lot. Even to them you have poured out a drink offering, you have offered a grain offering. Should I receive comfort in these? On a lofty and high mountain you have set your bed, even there you went up to offer sacrifice.
Verse 8, also behind the doors and their posts, you have set up your remembrance, for you have uncovered yourself to those other than me and have gone up to them. You have enlarged your bed and made a covenant with them. You have loved their bed where you saw their nudity. You went to the king with ointment and increased your perfumes. Sent your messengers far off and even descended to Sheol. You are wearied in the length of your way, yet you did not say, there is no hope. You have found the life of your hand, and therefore you were not grieved. And of whom have you been afraid or feared that you have lied and not remember me, nor taken it to your heart? Is it not because you have held my peace from old that you do not fear me? I will declare your righteousness and your works, for there will not profit you. Verse 13, when you cry out, let your collection of idols deliver you, but the wind will carry them away. A breath will take them away, but he who puts his trust in me shall possess the land and shall inherit my holy mountain. Nathan, what powerful passages.
It is and is. It's hard really to understand idolatry. When I was in college, at Bible college years ago, school was in Philadelphia, and our missions professor took us up to New York City, because in New York City, you could get and visit pretty much every religious institution. It's all there in New York City. And one of the places that we visited was a Hindu temple. And brother, I have never seen anything like that in my life. Thousands of little statues and people lighting incense and worshiping them. They had larger statues in the corners, and the priests, if you call them that, would pour milk over them and wash them with milk. And I remember asking my professor, I said, do these people really believe that these idols are gods? And he says, well, the lower castes, the more uneducated, do. But the upper castes believe that they represent the true gods, which they know are usually very wrathful in origin. And we know as Christians, demonic. So what idolatry is demon worship. And it was really eye-opening for me, Vic, to see people lay down and to think that when you read the Old Testament, idolatry is such a main theme there, that idolatry ran rampant. I mean, the Lord had ordered Joshua and Caleb to destroy all the Canaanites so that their false religions would not infect the Israelites. But they didn't follow through. And eventually, the Baal worship, the storm god worship, started becoming worshipped more and more by the Israelites and less Yahweh God, who was the one true God.
Wow, Nathan. And let me tell you, idolatry opens up such a can of worms, in a sense, because people really, they have no idea how it works. But you hit it right on the head. It's the demonic influence, demons behind these idols. And they are in every way, shape, or form. They cling onto these things that people worship when they don't worship the true and the living God. I was raised Catholic, and there's certain aspects of the Catholic religion that is good, but then there's a lot of idol worship, Nate. And I grew up with idols all over the house, San Miguel or some, you know, St. Michael. And we would literally worship these things. And let me tell you, if, man, you took one of our idols or broke one, it was like, oh, that was not good. And people really hold on to these idols like a great possession, not knowing what's really behind it. We were doing medical missions and missionary work to the Dominican Republic, and there's an area in the Dominican Republic that has been primarily now settled by a lot of Haitian immigrants, and they bring with them a lot of their culture as well. And part of that culture is the Santeria, black magic type of voodoo religion, and they brought it over to certain areas in the Dominican Republic, and we happen to be ministering in that area. And Nathan, when you look at what idol worship does to a community, to the people, how it binds them and how it keeps them in darkness, and when you walk through these places, you can almost feel the tension, that you can cut it with a knife with how dark it is. And we went into this voodoo doctor's village, And the Lord was leading us to just go into that village and pray for those people. And I said to the people that I was going with, hey, let's go over there. And they were freaking out, Nate, because their eyes were wide open. Like, we're going where? I mean, just look at that place. Look at that hut. And I said, well, the Lord is leading us to go there. We don't have to be afraid. But Nate, as we walk through this village, you can feel the demonic spirits all over the area. But you know what was amazing? Just like the Bible says, as we walked through and we were shining the light of Jesus, it was almost like a separation. Like you saw that divide as we were walking into this place. And we went into this witch doctor's place, where he wasn't there at the moment. and the stuff hanging all over bones and the stuff that they worship inside this room, that was so demonically oppressive that if we were not believers, forget it. So Nathan, we prayed over that place and we got out of that village. When we were leaving the village, there was another person that was also part of that occultic worship, and they had their gate closed. And when they saw us coming around the community just praying, it's like those demons let loose. And that person started screaming like something out of the Bible and just going crazy. They did not even want us to get near the house, Nate. And those that were with me, they were kind of freaking out, like, what is going on here? And I said, no, don't pay any mind to it. That's just spiritual warfare. We're just here to do our business. And that's what it was. But Nathan, people don't know how real this thing is.
Wow, that's a powerful story, man. You know, it's interesting when there's two aspects here when we're talking about idolatry, is that the Lord, there's a lot of sexual references here, and that's because the Lord sees the marriage covenant as being his covenant with his people. It's supposed to be pure and holy, no adultery, no fornication. There's a beautiful dedication between husband and wife, and that's what the Lord said he had with his people Israel. So he always compared adultery as spiritual harlotry. In other words, the people were spiritually cheating on him. They kept chasing after demons whom he created in the beginning of time. You know, he created the angelic world, and so they're worshiping his creation, not the creator. But also the worship of Baal, and Baal was the storm god, and that's where we get the term Beelzebub. So we're talking about, he might have been the storm god, but it's really Satan here. Is that what the people would do is to, and this is very pagan, very animistic, is that they would, to entice the storm god to bring the rains. You know how earlier we were talking about we're not getting the rains? Okay, well, this is what they would do. They would go and find a temple prostitute or some other kind of prostitute, go up to the high places where they worship these idols, and they'd have sex in the hope of enticing the gods to have sex and bring productivity. I know it sounds crazy, but and bring growth and reproduction to the land and make the harvests go. So yeah, they go up on the mountains and sleep around in the hopes of getting the gods to want to do the same thing and then bring bounty to the land. It's absolutely nuts when you think about it, but these people believed it. And so that's why you see so many times, like with the good kings of Israel would destroy the high places, because the high places is where the people would go to commit not only spiritual harlotry, but also sexual harlotry as well.
Nathan, and that background is really very important because even in the New Testament, Jesus was having a conversation with the religious leaders having to do with the family. And they, of course, accused Jesus of being a fornication. But Jesus pointed out the spiritual to them in John chapter 8, 42 through 47, in terms of who is your real father? Who do you belong to? Where does that come from? And Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you're not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. For he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you are convicted of sin? And if I tell you the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. And Nathan, here, Jesus exposes these things and he says, you know what? Clearly, you are of your father, the devil. Now, you and I don't preach like that. We don't go around telling people, you're the devil. No, but the occultic practices and the things that people are into, that is demonic.
Oh yeah, you know, that's what made America so incredible, is that we were founded on Judeo-Christian values. Wherever the gospel is strong, the satanic forces flee, and so much good is accomplished. And that's what's terrifying about our country, is the last I read, almost 40% now of the youth do not believe that there's even a God. And so as we push God out of our system, we've seen in the last few decades more and more animism, which is another word for cultism and Satanism, basically not open Satanism, but certainly it wants a place at the table. Wiccanism, I saw a lot of that when I lived in Delaware. Witchcraft and just idol worship is really what it is, and it creeps back in. And then, man, I hate to think that the United States could someday be just like Haiti, where you fear all the time because the demons are everywhere. Brother, I saw that when I went to Seattle a few years ago. I mean, just it was shortly after all the riots and craziness had taken over the country up north. And there were so many people there that were so, you could just feel the evil. There's one guy who was standing out in front of a Target and he was having yelling at himself in four different voices. And everybody just gave him a wide berth. No cop arrested him. I'm like, I'm actually watching a guy who's got at least four demons in him argue with the man that he's possessed. And this is right out in the open. And you would never have that in a Christian society, but brothers, we become more and more pagan. We open ourselves up to such horrors that we can't even imagine.
Oh, Nathan, and that's why in the American culture, some people don't recognize how we've also made idolatry seem fun. They sell Ouija boards in different places for kids. They sell all these. I mean, most of our movies coming out all have some type of witchcraft, wizards, something in it. And some of it is pretty dark. Even the cartoons, even the animated that Disney's producing, Nate, it's just like idolatry is everywhere and forcing upon us this type of worship.
Yeah, and it goes back to what you said about John 8. I think that was great. Your father is of the devil, and your desires of your father you want to do. So he lists here, he's a murderer, he's a liar, he's a cheater, he's a thief. Well, that's what the people want to do, and that's why the people reject God, because they don't want to do good, they want to do evil. And even you got, like you said, Jesus here is talking to the Pharisees. I mean, these are the religious leaders, and the religious leaders were leading the people to Satan. The Jewish people, as a society, was supposed to follow Yahweh God, and then the pagan peoples would look at them, say, "Hey, there's something special," and want to give up their paganism and accept God, and they would join the Jewish people. But there was no reason to, because by this time, by Isaiah's time, the Jewish people had become just as pagan and idolatrous as the neighbors around them. And so that's why the Lord first had the 10 northern tribes taken away by Assyria in 722 BC. And then by finally 586, the Jewish people, their nation will be destroyed by the Babylonians. And it's sad that destruction often has to come so the righteous remnant comes out. And I long to hope that our country doesn't get so evil that the Lord destroys it, that we will listen and to obey his precepts, to repent and turn back to him before we become so evil he must destroy us.
Wow, Nathan. I mean, that is just amazing because I tell you, some people are so blinded. Right now, we have a president that has openly allowed the Bible to be read, right, Nate? And others to join in. I mean, what other president that I remember during my time has done anything like that? And yet, people find so much hatred, reasons to, and to me, it's mind-boggling how far we've gone, Nathan, as a nation in some areas.
Yeah, well, I would say because their father's the devil. I mean, when you wonder what Trump derangement syndrome comes from, yeah, the guy's an obnoxious egomaniac. But is that really what affects people? No, it's his policies. And his policies are overwhelmingly pro-Christian and pro-Israel. And that's why they hate him for it. I know we only have a few minutes left and there's still seven more verses, but that the wonderful thing is that the Lord offers those who repent can return to him. So Vic, in the next section, we get to deal with the fact that the Lord will heal the backslider.
And I love that. So yeah, Nate, we'll pick it up verses 14 through 17, if you can pick those up, and I'll do 18 through 21.
All right, verse 14. And one shall say, heap it up, prepare the way, take the stumbling block out of the way of my people. For thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him who is a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. For I will not contender forever, nor will I always be angry, for the spirit would fail before me, and the souls which I have made. For the iniquity of his covetousness, I was angry and struck him. I hid and was angry, and he went on backsliding in the way of his heart.
Verse 18, I have seen his ways and I will heal him. I will also lead him and restore comfort to him and to his mourners. I created the fruit of the lips, peace, peace to him who is far off and to him who is near, says the Lord, and I will heal him. But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast mire and dirt. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. What an indictment, right, Nate?
Yeah, oh, verse 21 especially, it's a saying that has just been picked up over the centuries. There is no peace for the wicked. Isn't that true? Isn't that the people that turn from God to live after their own lusts, they might follow their wickedness and enjoy the pleasure of sin for a little while, but eventually enslaves them. It makes them miserable, some even suicidal. That, you meet people who don't know God, and they're some of the most unhappy people that you've ever met. There's just no peace for them. And so that's why I love how the Lord, no matter how far anyone has fallen, how far you have fallen, the Lord will welcome you back when you repent and return to Him. I love another thing what He says here too is that I will not contend forever, nor I will always be angry, because the souls which I have made. In other words, if the Lord never stopped being angry, we get the flood again. And what the Lord's going to do, we're going to get the tribulation period, the next time of judgment. And the fact that Jesus says that if the tribulation went a day longer, there wouldn't be anybody left on the planet alive. So, we got to really take God's anger seriously, because He wants a just and righteous people to dwell in heaven with Him forever. But the wicked man, the wicked, like it says, are like a troubled sea. There's no peace for them. They will face eternal judgment in hell.
Nathan, God is so gracious. You notice every chapter that we do, we have the good news and the bad news, but God always puts in good news. And it's almost like saying, look, in the midst of what I'm saying, I'm going to do to the wicked, there's an opportunity of grace. A grace that is open to anyone who's willing to accept it. And this is why hopefully people don't get the wrong idea regarding our programs or the Bible, that it seems like it's all gloom and doom. No, the reality is that all applies to the wicked, the people who could care less about the things of God. But if you are actually tuned into this program and you've been listening to this program thus far, I think God has a wonderful plan for you. And if you don't know Jesus, God's grace has been extended upon you right now, right, Nathan? Because otherwise, people would not be tuned in this long if they weren't interested in some of the things that we're saying about the Lord.
Well, I mean, that's why we call this program The Truth Will Set You Free. Right after that Bible verse, right there on the flag of the Dominican Republic. A wonderful story, by the way. If we had time, I wish you'd tell it again, maybe next time. But yes, the truth will set you free. It'll set you free from the bondage of sin and the eternal punishment of death. You can be freed from that if you turn to Jesus Christ and accept Him as Savior. Vic, how do people do that?
Well, Nate, I believe one of the ways to start, like we read earlier in John chapter 8, is that when we hear God's word, he who is of God hears God's words. And the Bible says in John 3:16 that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. And the Bible also tells us clearly in Romans 3:23 that we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But the Bible says in 1 John 1 that if we confess our sins, God is faithful to cleanse us from all unrighteousness and forgive us. So if that's you and you recognize, wow, that's true. I'm not perfect. I've messed up. I've broken God's commandment. But man, I'm hearing Vic and Nathan, and I really need a change in my life. And that's called repentance. And if you're willing to turn from your sins and confess them, the Bible says that God will grant you eternal life. And you can follow a simple prayer like the one that I'm going to pray. And if you pray this prayer and you mean it from your heart, the Holy Spirit moves position from being alongside of you, from being to being inside of you, and God will grant you eternal life. So wherever you are, you can pause for a minute and call on the name of the Lord. Simply say, Lord Jesus, I recognize that I'm a sinner. But God, right now, I ask you to forgive me for my sins. I want to invite you, Jesus, to come into my heart, to be my Lord, to be my Savior, and to be my friend. And from this day forth, I want to follow you, Jesus. In your name I pray, in Jesus' name. And you see, and if you pray that prayer, we would love to hear from you. You can call or text us at 305-992-9537 or write to us at webminister@lamblion.com. And Nathan and I would love to rejoice with you because there is a celebration in heaven for everyone that turns to the Lord. So Nate, we're excited right now because someone probably prayed that prayer and we're going to see them in heaven with us.
The Bible says that when someone accepts Christ as Savior, the angels rejoice.
Praise the Lord. Thank you. And we thank you for being part of today's program. We ran out of time for this segment of the program. Vic Batista, Nathan Jones say goodbye. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. Have a wonderful day.
Gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but